to the Connect Kindness podcast, where we connect people with organizations to inspire kindness. I'm your host, Crystal Aziz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tim Evans. Thank you for joining us on the Connect Kindness podcast. In today's episode, we interview Sharon Satterwhite with Patriot Paws. What they do is provide free service dogs to veterans in need.
Yes, we had a great conversation with Sharon. We learned all the different programs that they offer, the entire process for training these dogs, everything that goes into it, as well as their unique programs with colleges, as well as Texas prisons. So without further ado, this is our interview with Sharon Satterwhite of Patriot Paws.
Thank you for joining us on the Connect Kindness podcast today. Can you tell us a little bit more about Patriot Paws and how the idea came about?
I'd be happy to do that. Patriot Paws, as you know, is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to train and provide service dogs for disabled veterans. We provide those service dogs at no cost to the veteran. And the way that we got started was our founder and director, Lori Stevens. Back in 2006, she was a professional dog trainer herself, and she was contacted by a group of disabled veterans at the Dallas VA who were trying to train their own service dogs. And they reached out to her through a connection and asked her to help them. And when she met with them and saw what they were trying to do and saw how great their need was for a service dog, it just touched her heart. And it was one of those aha moments where she knew that that's what she needed to be doing. So she started helping those veterans. Word spread like wildfire, and she began to receive more and more phone calls and emails and veterans asking for help. And so she'll tell you, if she was here, she would say, I did not mean to start a nonprofit. She was trying to help some veterans, but because the need was so great, once people heard about what she was doing, then we had national media coverage, nightly news, NBC Nightly News heard about what she was doing and called and did a piece on her. And so then, really and truly, it was kind of no holds barred getting the phone calls. And so, you know, she just had such a heart for those veterans. Her son had just started serving in active duty Air Force and had gone on his first deployment. So she was, you know, felt very strongly that that's what she wanted to do. And it just grew from there.
I didn't know the full background, and that really is pretty cool. You said it spread like wildfire, so you guys are nationwide?
We are. We're based in Rockwall, Texas. That's where our main training campus and main training facility is, and where our main kennel facility is. But we do place service dogs with veterans from all over the country. I think we're in about 34 different states right now with our placements. We're like I said, we're home-based in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Rockwall, Texas, but we are a national nonprofit.
Yeah, I've heard that the Texans are good people. I don't know. We're located in Houston, Texas, so that's amazing to hear.
Well, you know then, Tim, you know how we feel.
Yeah,
I don't even need to answer that question.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. You know, can you share with us and our listeners about the different programs that Patriot Paws offers?
No, we do that one thing. Our mission is to train service dogs, so we do that one thing. But that one thing takes about 2 years from beginning to end with a service dog, and it costs about $34,000. And that sometimes causes people to, well, it did me before I came to work.
Wow.
Here. I thought, well, how on earth could it cost that much money? But I'll explain the intricacies of training one dog. So let's just take one dog. That puppy comes into our training program at about 6 or 7 weeks old. They come here to our main campus, and for about the first 3 months of their life, they live and begin training almost immediately here. And the reason for that is we wait until they've had their third set of shots before we want to transport them or move them to any of our different phases of their training. Once they receive their shots, then they are moved to our prison program, is what we call it, and we partner with the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. We're celebrating our 10th anniversary with them. It's been a wonderful partnership. We have inmate trainers in three different prison units here in Texas that actually are trained to help us train our dogs. So when the dogs are in the prison program, they live and work 24/7 with our inmate trainers. The inmate trainers don't get paid, but it is their job while they're in prison to train our dogs. And so at any one time, we could have probably about 40 of our dogs would be in the prison program at any one time. The value of that program is, well, it's, to me, it's the my favorite thing that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only does it keep our costs down, I mean, we could never afford to pay somebody to live and work with our dogs 24/7.
Sure.
You know, and so it keeps our costs down. And it helps us train the dog for the veteran as quickly as possible, as efficiently as possible. And but it just helps those inmate trainers so much. It really changes their lives. So you hear them talk about being able to do something positive with their lives while they're in prison, being able to give back to society when, you know, before they were selfish and took from society. It just builds their self-worth and their self-esteem to the point where, you know, it really can cause them to be rehabilitated in such a positive way. Our recidivism rate within our Patriot Paws program in the prisons is less than 1%. I believe out of all of the inmate trainers that we have had, only one has gone back to
prison. Wow.
It's really amazing the multiple levels of people that program helps. It helps us, it helps the dogs, it helps the veterans, it helps the inmate trainers. It helps those family relationships that have been broken. My favorite story is where one of the wardens was telling me that a family came in and wanted to speak with her about their mom. And she said, you know, when a family comes in to speak to me, it's usually not a good thing. Mm-hmm. They usually are complaining, or it's a negative thing. But they came in and they immediately got very emotional and just shared with her that they really felt like that the Patriot Paws program had given them their mother back, that she had become a different person, just more selfless and giving and committed to something that was important. So I know I'm going on and on, but
no,
I can just go on and on about it.
It's fantastic. You know, like the prison program, it's such a unique idea, and it's mm-hmm. really not only helping the veterans, but it's also positively impacting the inmates. Can you share with us, I know you may, you know, go on and share more about the different programs that you offer, but how did the program for prisons, how did that come to be?
Well, the TDCJ, the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, they actually approached Lori with the idea, I believe, that they had seen it happening or seen a dog training program in another state prison. Lori was, you know, not a celebrity, but because of all the media attention, you know, during that time, she was pretty well known here in Texas and regionally at least. And so they just heard about what she was doing, and they thought, you know, and then they heard about what this other prison in another state was doing, and they thought, maybe we can do that here. And so they invited her, and they also invited some other organizations, not that they didn't train service dogs for disabled veterans, but they were training dogs for other things. Some programs rescue dogs and just train them to be good pets. The TDCJ invited several different programs to come in and talk to them, just kind of a roundtable discussion. Well, Lori brought one of our service dogs that was in training, and they didn't realize that she had brought a dog into the room. The meeting was probably 2.5 or 3 hours, and the dog that Lori had with her was under the table.
Oh, my gosh.
When everybody got up to get ready to go, the dog, like, thumped his tail or made some kind of noise, and the warden said, wait a minute, is there a dog under the table? And Lori said, well, yeah, you know, he's been there the whole time. And he was like, he didn't say it out loud, but Lori says that she thinks that's the moment when they decided that it would be our organization that they would invite to partner with them. So just one of those things. We're there at the right time, the right place with the right dog.
That is awesome. And I know you guys also do some programs with colleges. Could you go into that a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, so we have an amazing puppy raiser program. It's a student-led volunteer puppy raisers down at Texas A&M University. And that, I'll circle back a little bit and just say, after our dogs train in prison and receive some of their basic cues and behaviors, good manners, then they come out of prison and then they need to be socialized. The next phase of their training is to be socialized, and that's what we depend on our puppy raisers to do for us. So in prison, the dogs don't get to go on outings and, you know, experience different environments that they need to experience. And so our puppy raisers do that for us. We have a group down at Texas A&M University. We're recognized by the university as a university group, and we have volunteer students that number probably about 150 or 180. Of those, probably a little less than 50 are actual puppy raisers, and they live and work with our dogs on campus in their dorms and their apartments. And so that program is just a few years old, but has grown so much. And the cool thing is that our full-time trainer, who is in charge of the, we call it Patriot Paws Aggieland program, is a former inmate, and she learned to train our dogs in prison, and now she is such a valuable, important part of our organization. So that's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
You hear stories like that all the time of, like, people, you know, either volunteering for an organization or being part of it somehow, and then ending up working for that organization because they just felt so inspired and they knew that they wanted to make a difference. So that's pretty awesome. And thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And we also have puppy raisers in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, not as large a group, but I would be remiss not to mention them, because they go out and do a lot of ambassador work for us. They'll connect with organizations that want to know more about us, and they'll take their puppy that they have and do a demonstration for us along with our other ambassador volunteers. So we depend a lot on those people who just give us their time, and it's pretty amazing.
I'm interested in, like, what exactly the puppy raisers and also the inmates, what are they teaching the dogs? What goes into the process for training these service dogs?
The overall goal for a service dog at the end of their training is, of course, to pass their public access test so that they can be fully certified public access service dogs. So our dogs come away with about 52 basic cues. All of the cues can be customized for different veterans that need different things. But the cues are basic things like get phone. That's the cue for sending the dog to a certain phone that's been designated and set aside in the house, where if a veteran has fallen and can't get to their phone or there's nobody else home, the dog can go get the phone and bring it to the veteran to call for help. Or there's a cue called leave it, and that cue is given if, in case there's been something dropped on the floor. All of our dogs are trained to, the cue to retrieve dropped items is uh-oh. And so if a veteran that has trouble bending over or doesn't have use of their hands, they drop keys and things that you and I drop every day, and we just bend over and pick them up. Well, a lot of times our veterans can't do that. So the dog learns uh-oh and retrieve dropped items. Well, the cue leave it is, in case something has been dropped, it's dangerous for the dog, like medication or anything like that that the dog should not pick up. So those are just a few of the basic cues. And so they get those basic cues and behaviors when they go to prison the first time, but they begin working on those from the time they're babies. When they come out of prison and go to a puppy raiser, we don't expect our puppy raisers to be full-on dog trainers, but we do train them to know enough to continue to reinforce those good behaviors. Our dogs phase in and out of their different training environments at about a 3-month length. So they'll go to prison, they'll come out, they'll go to a puppy raiser for 3 months, they'll come back here to be evaluated, and they might go back to prison for 3 months or to another puppy raiser, for just depending on what they need. So the puppy raiser's job is different from the inmate trainers. But the inmate trainers are more focused on kind of the hardcore learning the cues and behaviors, and then the puppy raisers are focused on reinforcing those and taken our dogs out into all different environments, the movies, restaurants, and the grocery store, anywhere a veteran might need to take their dog.
Yes, absolutely.
That makes perfect sense. You know, you guys are providing free service dogs to, you know, veterans in need. Where do you get these puppies from? You know, how many dogs are you guys really training at a time, and how many are you giving mm-hmm. away to these veterans on a yearly basis?
So we get our puppies from different places. At any one time, we currently can have up to 80 dogs in program-wide. That includes in prison, at Texas A&M, with our Dallas-Fort Worth puppy raisers, and here at our main training facility. So we receive new dogs into the program from different places. We have a couple of breeders that we have really long relationships with. We're very comfortable with the health of their breeding program, and we're comfortable with the temperament of the dogs that we get from them. At the end of the day, every dog that we introduce into our training program, we want to be sure that we're starting off with the highest chance of success possible, because we're very mindful of our donors' dollars. You know, we don't ever want to do anything to make that process longer or more expensive than it needs to be. And so we work with very carefully vetted breeders. Sometimes we'll have people call us that want to donate. You know, they've had a litter of retriever puppies and they want to donate one. Sometimes we're fortunate enough to be able to work with rescues. We have some shelters that we have close relationships with, and they kind of know what we're looking for in a dog, and so they'll call us and say, hey, we think we might have a good candidate for your program. But wherever we get the dog, no matter where we get it, we our trainers will temperament test that dog, evaluate the temperament and the physical health, and make the best decision that we can to, you know, to ascertain if that dog's going to be successful in our program.
Is there a specific breed that you guys use?
Yeah, great question. So typically we work with Labrador Retrievers, not exclusively, but just typically. We also work with Labradoodles and Golden Doodles, Black Coat Retrievers, English Retrievers. But that breed, just Labrador Retrievers and other retriever breeds, you know, they've just got that personality already. Their instinct is to retrieve items and to work. You know, they love to work. You know, people a lot of times will ask, well, when does a dog just get to, you know, play when not work? Well, they love to work. Their training is like play, and we only use positive reinforcement training, so it is always a game to them, a learning game. But typically Labrador Retrievers, just because they have the temperament, they have the build. We primarily train for mobility, so we have to have dogs with the physical ability to help somebody in a wheelchair, for instance, and you know that, so the dog has to be just a certain size and able to do that.
Yeah, no, Labrador Retrievers are great dogs. I'm actually trying to talk my wife into a Labradoodle, so wish me luck for Christmas.
There you go. good luck on that.
Yeah, thank you. What are the requirements for a veteran to receive a service dog?
So that's a great question. Try to make it as easy as possible for our veterans to connect with us. And so there is the application process for anybody that wants to be considered to receive one of our service dogs is on our website. That's very easy to find. And we also have veteran coordinators that are on our staff here. And if a veteran wants to call, visit about the application process and questions answered, then we are always happy for them to call here at our office to talk to one of our veteran coordinators.
It sounds pretty easy to me. Yeah. You know, for the people that want to get involved with Patriot Paws, what do they got to do? What is the website? What's the social media? How can they get involved with you guys?
Our website is patriotpaws.org, www.patriotpaws.org. All of our social media links are on there. Follow us on Instagram at Patriot Paws Service Dogs, all spelled out. Twitter, we're @PatriotPaws, and on Facebook, we're @PatriotPaws. we would love to, anybody that wants to connect with us and help us in any way. I mean, you know, I always say that financial help is always the right size and the right color, and we always love it, but we always equally are so happy to have people interested in volunteering for us, helping us spread the word about our mission. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and are interested in being a puppy raiser, you know, that's something we can plug you into and talk to you about. Help comes in all different ways to us. We have a huge job in front of us. Unfortunately, we probably have 85 veterans right now waiting on one of our dogs. And the more people that we have on our, the quicker and the better we're going to be able to do that. And also, this week happens to be a very special week in North Texas. It's called North Texas Giving Day. It's happening on Thursday, September the 20th. It's a 24-hour online focused giving to North Texas nonprofits. We're fortunate enough to be a part of that. Every gift that is given online through North Texas Giving Day is multiplied by Communities Foundation of Texas. And so we are encouraging anybody that is interested in supporting us. If you'll click on that North Texas Giving Day picture, you can give online to Patriot Paws, and your donation will be multiplied through this amazing event, and you don't have to be from North Texas to participate.
That's great. Well, Sharon, thank you so much for being on the Connect Kindness podcast. It's been a pleasure visiting with you. And for our listeners, please go check out their website, check out their social media, and follow them. You guys are doing some fantastic things. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, Crystal and Tim, thank you so much for inviting us to share our story with you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to the Connect Kindness podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ShareGiveDo. And please remember, the world is changed by your example, not by your opinion.